Wait. You've never seen Paid in Full?
A Low Down Dirty Shame?
Acrimony?
It's yes. Christmas.
No, I don't think I have.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Does It Hold Up?
Where we watch all those black films you know and love.
Oh, wait. Yeah, nobody talks about this movie.
At the end, I was like, hey, Joe.
And we ask,
does it hold up?
Does it hold up?
So then, guys, we have to ask now, does it hold up?
Now, on to the show.
And I quote, boy, don't act like you didn't hear me with the big ass ears. You probably heard the sun coming up this morning.
That was a good one.
I used to be very sensitive about my ears. I thought they were a little big.
I've never even noticed that about you.
I know. It's
Listen,
not
as
a thing.
An East African, I'm never beating the big forehead allegations, and I've simply accepted that as my fate.
No, you see this head? You see this forehead? Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to touch foreheads, London. We might blow some shit up, okay?
We touched it. My nephew is
forehead
in
off.
The 95th
you or Rihanna.
Percentile.
Who wins?
Honestly,
or Rihanna's baby.
Tyra Banks.
Oh. Tyra Banks.
Honestly, again, I'm gonna say my nephew wins because he's in the 95th percentile when it comes to the circumference of that little boy's big ass head. I Ooh, love that.
The doctor said that?
Yes.
What? The 95th percentile?
95th percentile.
Damn.
Why is he sit so up straight? Big? Cause he thinking big, bitch.
As a parent, I don't know why I need that information.
He gonna fall the fuck over. Don't ever let him go swimming. He to the motherfucking bottom. Ooh, I know your sister had a rough time pushing that one out.
She didn't even have to push him out. It was an emergency C-section. Ew.
Lucky her.
Lucky her, yes. I don't know if that's lucky, but yeah. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Does It Hold Up? The last new episode of the summer. Woo! Who's excited? I'm excited.
I'm excited for these hot ass days to go away. Damn.
Oh my God. It's been fucking insane. Like, I'm so glad that I have short hair now because this weather, it's been fucking like driving me crazy. And I'm working in Pasadena now, and Pasadena is like dry heat. Like there's no ocean.
Literally the devil's like, belly button.
It literally is hell on earth. You know, every fucking day I'm just out there dying. But that's me. What have you guys been up to? What's going on? Camille, you went to see our homegirl.
I did.
You went to
I
see
did.
Our homegirl.
I did spend some
money. I was like, who?
Yes, okay. me and baby did get to spend some up close and personal time together.
Okay, tell us about it. Tell us everything. I want to know everything.
Yeah, we can give the people some tips, some tricks. So me and my sister got there at 3 because that's just the type of Beyonce fans we are. We were concerned about the Club Renaissance GA situation.
Yeah.
Based on
GA.
Other reports that we had heard, I have famously paid money to see things several times in my life. And because of my height, didn't see a single thing.
Yep.
Not all night. And it's starting to really piss me off. So
really? Somebody passed out on me at the SZA concert.
So this didn't happen at Beyonce. I'm just saying many times in my life that has been the case. So that is why I am the way that I am. And so we get there at 3, which, to be honest, Club Renaissance is so fucking spacious. Like, we didn't even need to be that. There was so much room to move around. There was, so, like, everyone was, like, the vibes were very good. So, like there were some people who got there at, like, 6:30
and still had great
and just still, you know, as long as you got that wristband, you're in Club Renaissance, you'll be able to see from wherever you are.
I love that. I'm not in Club Renaissance, but
yeah, neither am I.
Right, like you don't have to be, I'm just saying, if you're nervous about those things and you aren't Queer Renaissance, whatever. But also, it's just a feast for the eyes. Like, no matter where you're sitting, you're just in the same room with Beyonce, first of all, and it's just a beautifully put together production. Like,
every time I have that realization, like, oh my God, I'm breathing the same air as her right now.
Yes.
Like, when you're at her concert, you have this moment where you're just like, oh shit, like, she's real. Like, she's right fucking there. That is Beyonce.
That motherfucker is real. Yes.
Like, yes. That. No.
And I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That motherfucker back there is not. Listen, I would have followed her off the fucking plane. She seemed like she had a good grasp on what was going on. Because,
yeah, I said, let's hear her out.
Exactly. I want to know what the fuck she had to say.
I don't know what the fuck was going on at the back of the plane. That's what we didn't get to investigate. I feel like we're only hearing one side of the story that's making her look crazy. But I feel like I just want to know where she was coming from. You know what I mean?
Like, yes, yeah, I would have gotten off the plane easily. Yeah,
oh,
easily.
You ain't got to tell me twice. I saw Final Destination, and I feel like that's all I needed to know.
Listen, in the words of Toni Braxton, ooh, that's my cue. Purse.
And you ain't got to tell me twice, okay?
You ain't got to tell me twice. I've heard what I needed to hear. I'm going.
I've seen what I needed to see, and we're done here. Okay, well, what else? What else is up? What have you been watching? What have you been listening to? What's up?
I mean, The Summer I Turned Pretty season 2 is out. I have to say, for the girlies, Sweet Magnolias season 3 is coming out. Camille, send me your mother's phone number.
Will do.
I saw Jamie Lynn Spears. Is she on that show?
She is. Unfortunately, she is.
I saw somebody had stitched a video or had like posted a screenshot of a video that she made because, you know, SAG is on strike right now and she can't promote the show and she's complaining that she can't promote the show. But it's like, baby, you live on Britney's teeth. Why are you complaining? Okay,
like, shouldn't you have already gotten your check? Like,
we saw them statements. Okay, we know you are flying everywhere on Britney's dime. Okay,
exactly.
Well, maybe not anymore because the conservatorship is done.
Oh, so she might not.
And the book is coming.
Oh yes, I can't wait.
Crossing my fingers, praying to whomever that she narrates it, and it's that she narrates the audiobook.
If she does an audiobook,
need it.
If she does an audiobook, Grammy,
because
she's going to air some people the fuck out.
Say and their names.
I want names. I want dates. I want to know. It was Colonel Mustard in the library with the golf club. Like, I want names.
It's about time to crank back up the Justin Timberlake hate train. Because he's trying to get back in our good graces on that little Coco Jones song.
I've already been cranked
it up. I didn't listen to it. I don't know why she would do that with him, but I mean.
But let me be very clear. Recently, I've been out several times. Justin Timberlake songs have come on.
Where?
There's a lot. Listen, Senorita, any of the ones produced by the Neptunes, first of all.
Okay, that's fair.
The groove get in. Songs have come up, and it's just hard not to.
Listen, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Right twice a day.
It's right twice a day. We have to remember that. What about you, Camille? Have you been watching anything fun?
Fun. I mean, I watched The Bear just like everybody else.
I have not seen it yet. I'm too stressed. I can't take that.
Okay, Mariah, just watch the program. And then
I'm too stressed. I just can't handle more stress in my life right now.
Oh, okay.
It's too much. it's too much.
Yeah, I guess mostly that.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you see the last episode of the Emmy?
Oh, yes.
An Emmy nomination.
Yeah.
Ayo has an Emmy nomination. Janelle James has an Emmy nomination. The whole cast, it seems, has Emmy nominations. But now can't nobody go to the fucking Emmys. I feel real fucking bad. Because I would have loved to seen her.
To nobody see her there to write it. Emmys. Nobody there to win any awards.
Nope. Nobody showing the fuck up.
Unless they get.
Cancel it. They're just going to cancel it. Okay. I actually have several things that I've been watching that I would love to discuss. I finally watched the Donna Summer documentary on HBO Max. And number one, I feel like, well, here's what I thought about it as a whole. I feel like it was like saying a lot without saying really anything at all. Kind of like, I don't think they really got into it. You know, like they kind of glazed over that suicide attempt and glazed over some of the abuse and all of that stuff. So I don't really think, even of her daughter, that was something that I had heard for the first time about her abuse. So they didn't really get into much. But one thing I do want to, two things that I do want to talk about that I do think were absolutely worth mentioning. The makeup looks, I mean, this is like archival footage. And I'm like, that is like the most beautiful woman I have ever laid my eyes on. Who was doing her fucking makeup? I need to know. It was phenomenal in like every shot. I'm like, oh my God. And this is the 70s. It's not even fucking good makeup yet for black people.
Absolutely not.
How the fuck? I want to know who was doing her fucking makeup. That's what I want to know. That's one. And then number two, I think this documentary kind of really made me realize I know a lot more Donna Summer music than I thought I knew. Like, she was really that fucking girl. Like, really, really, really that. Like, you want to talk about she works hard for the money? Oh, they had her out there slaving for that shit, okay? Yeah. She worked hard for the fucking money.
Hot Stuff?
Oh, my God. Love to Love You? Oh, my God. And it's like, everybody knows, like, one or two songs, but I was really shocked at how many. I was like, oh, I do know this song. Oh.
Bars love to play Last Dance at the end of the night.
Oh, yeah.
She's a cultural staple.
No, she really is. So that's another. That's one thing I watch. Another thing that I watch, I don't know if you guys know who Rock Hudson is. You know who that is? Okay, okay. I knew it was in the right group of people. You don't?
I know that gay man.
Gay man? Oh.
Yes. Okay, so here's the thing. That's kind of the whole thing. So Rock Hudson was like this movie star from like the 50s, 60s, and then a TV star in the 70s. And then he died of AIDS like in like 1985. But he had been closeted his entire life. And he was kind of like this really big like sex symbol in Hollywood. Mm. And he was like this really masculine man. And then it turns out that he was a closeted gay man his entire life. But I just watched his documentary on HBO Max called Rock Hudson, All That Heaven Would Allow. And it was just so revealing. Like, I mean, everybody knew this nigga was gay. Every fucking body knew he was gay. He had people on speed dial who would bring people to his house. They said his house was basically like a free-for-all. Like, niggas would be running around there with no clothes on, just butt-ass naked. Like, everybody knew this man was gay. And so people were so surprised when he died of AIDS in 1985 because they were like, people have no idea that he's gay. But it seemed like it was like a thing that people just did not talk about in Hollywood.
Right.
Oh, probably.
But this fucking documentary, I thought it was so good. I really did.
And where does it, did you say it was on?
It's on HBO Max.
I think you mean Max.
Oh, shut. Oh, please. Oh, get the fuck out of here. Oh, what the fuck ever.
No, that sounds amazing. Do they talk about him being like friends with the Reagans and how they just like let it
go? Oh, they did talk about that. They talked about that towards the end, and that was something I did not know.
Like Ronald Reagan?
Like Ronald and Nancy. Like both were friends. Okay.
Nancy?
Oh, girl.
Well, they said his house was a free for all. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay, but here's the thing though, and this was new information for me. But apparently he was a Republican, like a really big Republican and a big supporter of Ronald Reagan. Right, exactly. Rich white man, even if he's gay. And he's from like the suburbs in Illinois. So of course he's fucking a Republican.
Yeah, and he's benefiting from all the privileges of being a straight white man despite being closeted.
Being closeted.
He said, no, I like it the way it is.
Baby, they had all his ex-lovers. They had all his ex, they was interviewing ex-lovers. And then one guy was on there talking about, and he said, oh, I was just his friend for like 40 years. And then the producer was like, did you ever fool around with him? He said he tried once, but it was too big for me. Like, essentially, he said, I couldn't handle Rock. I said, oh!
The Rock.
But look, but here's the thing about Ronald and Nancy Reagan. So apparently, when he was, like, he knew it was, like, basically the end. Like, he had no choice at this point but to, like, tell everybody that he had AIDS. Because he was 59. If you look up what he looked like when he was dying, I swear to God, I thought the man was in his 80s. He looked bad. But the paparazzi or somebody had gotten wind that he was in the hospital for some unknown illness, and finally it was so bad that they had to tell people that he was he had AIDS, he had HIV, and he was he had AIDS. And then he called the White House or sent a telegram to the, I don't know, not a telegram, he sent something to the fucking White House asking if they could transfer him to the military hospital in Paris, because that would be his best chance of survival with the disease. And Nancy, his close personal friend, wrote back, she didn't think the White House should get involved in such matters. Left him for dead, literally.
Like, actually, literally, though.
Actually, literally.
He and so many others.
Left him for dead.
Yeah.
Baby, all of them. They said, you thought you were exempt because you were in the closet, but you weren't. Anyway, it was really good. I love that they interviewed ex-lovers. They had diary entries, all this stuff. I really liked it. I was watching it when I was doing my hair. But then there's this other thing. This is the last thing. And then we can talk about the movie. There was this other thing, this docu-series called Last Call. And I had also discovered it the night that I was just doing my hair. It's also on Max. Ugh. It's about this serial killer. And I know how you guys feel about true crime. Fair. And he was going after closeted gay men in New York City. So they didn't think that it was like a gay, or they didn't see it as a hate crime, because this was in the 90s when, you know, they weren't really taking hate crimes against, you know, the LGBTQ community seriously in New York.
Yeah.
So this one man's body was found in like a trash can, and he was dismembered completely, like body drained of blood, had no blood in his body. And then his body was found in Pennsylvania, not in New York City, but his last known whereabouts was this bar that was known to be a bar for DL men. And it was all hush hush, like don't ask, don't tell, no questions about our patrons kind of situation. They didn't think it was related to that until like a year or so later, they found another man in Pennsylvania, killed the same exact way, and last known whereabouts were the same exact bar. And that's how they knew they had a serial killer. But here is where it gets crazy. Because then
now it's getting crazy.
I hear you. But his third victim, and this was really sad, was this Puerto Rican man named Tony, who was a sex worker. And so when Tony got killed by this man and found dismembered, drained of blood, same way, it was the news stories, the headlines were completely different. The other two was like, oh, this nice white family man was murdered. This, the headline that they wrote about Tony, it wasn't even a headline. It was just like a little blip in the newspaper, like, oh, a drug addicted sex worker killed trying to fund his crack habit. Literally print it in the New York Times. Like, that's what they wrote in the fucking newspaper about this man. And they have all these organizations, all of these like old gay organizers who were doing it back in the 80s and the 90s, talking about how the NYPD really didn't give a fuck about them and how they would abuse them and all types of stuff that I knew, but like now I'm like, oh, I'm hearing it and it's about this. And they knew before the police knew that this man was targeting gay men. And the police were like, it has nothing to do with them being gay. It has nothing to do with them being gay. But all these organizers are like, no, no, no. This bar is if you're in, if you know, you know. Like, that's, yeah. that's, and it, so, but it's really good. It's only 4 episodes, but it's really good. It's a really good docuseries. And I think that I feel like I found it very enlightening. Crazy, but enlightening. So.
I will not be watching that, but thank you fair, so much fair, for your information.
Fair. I don't blame you. It's not everybody's cup of tea. I understand.
Listen, it sounds incredible. Whoever, I need peace. I need
that's fair.
I need gentleness. That's what I need. That is what I love need that.
You deserve gentleness. So let's get into today's film. So today we're talking about Rebels.
What a segue. What a segue. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a
show. Tell me, have you ever seen Roll Bounce?
I've seen Roll Bounce more fucking times than I can count. Okay, and I was like, and I kind of annoyed because I like rented the movie.
Yeah.
And as I'm watching it, I said, I know all the words to this movie. I yeah. really didn't need, I don't even know if I needed to rewatch yeah. it for this.
Yeah. I knew exactly.
May I please read you? So I was yes. like, telling my sister that I was watching Roll Bounce. And she was basically telling me, she was like, do not rent this movie. Like, I know you know this movie. She talked about some, she goes, bitch, I'll give you the spark notes. Right Shad now? Had a, she said, Shad had a dead mom. Shad was skating, had a love interest. Then they was skating.
Then they was skating.
And then I'm watching, and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of
his name happened. Wasn't Chad, it was X.
She was calling him Shad, his birth name.
You know Chad what? Moss. I thought you said Chad. Not Shad.
But yes, I've seen Roll Bounce.
I've seen
it.
Roll Bounce. What about you, yeah. London? Have you ever seen Roll Bounce?
I thought I did, and then I was watching the movie, and I was like, I've never fucking seen this movie before.
Okay, I love that.
Can somebody just let me know? Because this was a question that I had, and I have to admit, I was too lazy to look it up. What decade was this movie based in?
They don't know.
I do know because it's in the Wikipedia entry.
Right. I mean, they didn't, it seems so, like. But.
I don't know what the fuck they knew. So, Roll Bounce is a 2005 American comedy drama film written by Norman Vance Jr. and directed by Malcolm D. Lee. The film stars hip-hop artist Bow Wow as the leader of a roller skating crew in 1970s Chicago.
Which, can we also just stop having Bow Wow be the leader of anything, please?
But you know what, guys? In these last two films, it's not like he's giving, like, a horrible performance at all.
No.
There is a world where if he, like, stuck to that and really kept going, like, I think there's a world where he becomes, like, I don't know, he has, like, a good year where he's, like, nominated for an award, maybe. You know,
like,
what I mean?
Like, a BET award.
But instead, he just, like, went the
NAACP Image
reality award. TV clown route. Yeah, the clown route.
Yeah.
He chose to do clownery. And
some people
the clown
choose
has come back
clownery.
To bite several times with that one.
Oh, my God. I feel like it's always biting that nigga.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a whole, like, 2 to 3 years where every time, I feel like every day niggas was just clowning Lil Bow Wow on the internet. And I feel like I couldn't even be mad because he kind of deserved it. Do you remember when he hosted the Grammys pre-show and he didn't know when the show started? And he just kept counting down on the air and the camera did not pan away from him?
What?
The camera just never panned away from him. They were so bogus for that shit. Like,
oh, wow.
They're like, we're still live. We're still live. Oh. And then there was the whole pretending like he had a private plane. Do you guys remember that? When he pretended that he had a private plane and really he got an image from Google?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Aw.
And then do you remember that whole, they don't know it's me?
Yes.
This nigga is a clown, but yeah. He is still a little Bow Wow. Anyway, so the film is stacked, like I said. So it's set in 1978 Chicago after the local roller rink, the Palisade Garden, closes down. 16-year-old Xavier X. Smith and his friends, Junior, Boo, Naps, along with his new neighbor, Tori, spend their summer roller skating in the ritzy uptown rink, Sweetwater, where they are disrespected by the 5-year roller disco contest champion Sweetness and his crew, the Sweetwater Rollers. They enter the contest themselves to earn their place at the rink. Xavier reconnects with an old crush, Naomi. Now let's talk about who the people were in this film. Obviously, we have Bow Wow. Then there's Chai McBride, who plays his dad. Mike Epps. Oh, my God. Mike Epps. Wesley Jonathan, a.k.a. Nick Cannon's Tethered. Kalita Smith.
But also Nick Cannon. they were crazy for that. They were crazy for that. I just want to address it right now.
Niggas used to say you ain't never seen these two niggas in the same place at the same time until they was in the same fucking movie.
Can movie.
I was thinking the exact same thing when I was watching this movie. I kept being like, wait, is that? That's not.
That's Nick Cannon's Tethered.
And I feel for him because he has a great career on his own.
And he's really, I think he's hot. Like, he is good.
Yeah, he's a great body. He's on What I Like About You, Hive, Rise Up. Okay. I fucking loved him on there. Yes.
Oh my God, he was so good on that.
Yes, he's great.
He was on, what else was he on? City Guys? What is City Guys?
See, now don't, let's not play him right now.
No, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what the fuck that is either. But this isn't helping.
We don't need to do this. We just know he's been in a lot of stuff. Like, if you go through his discography, he was in an episode of 21 Jump Street. He was in an episode of A Different World.
How old is this nigga?
That's what I'm saying. Wait a minute.
Not A Different World.
This nigga, okay. He has no age. Like, there's no age. It just says he's been active since 1990. He was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. Wait a minute. He was in Whitney, the movie. He played Babyface in that Lifetime movie. What else? What else has he been in? He was in remember that episode of Sister Sister? Wait.
Yes.
I do remember that episode of Sister Sister.
Me the fuck back. That episode of Sister Sister. What else is he in? Smart Guy. This nigga is old. He's
44. He's 44.
Okay, so he's middle-aged. He was in 90210. What else is he in? What is The Soul Man? It's a spinoff of Hot in Cleveland. I don't know what that is.
Okay, that was like a sitcom. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so he's been in some stuff. He's in currently recurring in Partners in Rhyme. His character's name is Boston. But anyway, Wesley Jonathan, a.k.a. Nick Cannon's Tethered, Kalita Smith, who everybody knows as Wanda from the Bernie Mac show.
Period.
Megan Good, who is making questionable decisions right now. Cleo Thomas, a.k.a. Zero.
Period.
Nick Cannon.
Wait, what is Megan Good doing? Wait.
Haven't heard?
Do you know who she's currently in a relationship with?
No.
She's dating Jonathan Majors, who is in court right now for domestic violence. But they started dating
after the domestic violence.
It was a PR
so like
move.
2 weeks ago.
Exactly. Except it's been a little bit more than 2 weeks since he assaulted that woman. It's been like two months.
But it's like, since the news has like broke, and because it takes a long time for shit to get through court.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Because then a lot of other people came out.
Wait, I didn't even ask you what was it like to see Blue Ivy?
I was
these segues.
I was I know we're all over the place today, but I love the energy.
I had an edible. Okay,
same. Okay, and then okay, I think we kind of all did, so that's great.
Woo-hoo! No, we all did.
Partners in but Partners in Rhyme.
That's Partners awesome. In Rhyme. I'm gonna watch it and I'm gonna report back. We're going to bring back Wesley Jonathan, okay?
Nick Cannon Stop that. He's saying, bring him back. He's currently on a show.
Nick Cannon had a resurgence, repopulating the earth. I think Wesley Jonathan can have one as soon as SAG goes off of strike.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And contrary to it, it looks as if Wesley Jonathan only has one child. So
he did not.
He's seeming like the better option. We need to start boosting him up.
I kind of think he was always the better option. Like, I never found Nick Cannon attractive. Like, no. Not even in Love Don't Cost a Thing, when he was supposed to have gotten that makeover.
No. I also think he was one of the lesser, funnier cast members of All That. Sorry.
Wait, who else was on All That?
Kenan Thompson. and
Kel, that, going against Keenan, that's that white girl.
Kel, yes. Well, her name escapes me, but
Amanda, yes. Also
Amanda. I mean,
I forgot Nick Cannon was on that fucking show.
Exactly.
Why was he on that fucking show? I be forgetting he's old as fuck too, and like has done like a lot of shit.
Yeah, Drumline is great.
No, Drumline was a wonderful movie. It made me care about, you know, literacy, you know, because I'd be embarrassed as fuck if I was grown as hell and I didn't know how to read. And this is why.
Oh, is that his dad, right? Can't read? Who can't read? His dad?
Nick Cannon can't read in the movie.
No, he just can't read music.
I think I misunderstood the movie all these years. This whole time, I thought that nigga could not read at all.
Now I'm nervous because, like, I'm pretty positive he just couldn't use it. Because that's the thing. He's staring at the, he just didn't mimic it.
I thought it was like a translation thing. Like, I can't read here and I can't read there either.
What are you saying?
No. Was wrong, and I just got a different interpretation of it.
Wow!
Girl, cheers. You just started the episode.
I thought he couldn't fucking read.
You think he just took a couple of weeks to teach himself how to fully read?
I mean, it's a movie. I thought it was just it's a fucking movie. It didn't seem that far fetched when I was like 10, Camille. So I couldn't fucking read, and I was doing 2 or 3 Judy B. Jones books a day. I said, it's not gonna be me. I will never be like this man. I can't believe all these years I thought he couldn't read. That is crazy.
He literally got into college.
A lot of people get into college and are dumb as fuck.
But I don't think it's a reading. I think that's one that's really hard.
I really think I just wasn't even thinking that deeply about it. Like, I just thought he couldn't read.
all the close-ups of him, like, watching people's hands play the drum and then just...
No, I knew that part. Okay. But I thought it also translated to outside of band practice. I just thought he couldn't read. Okay, this is a
I just want to clear this up because now you made me nervous, but I did check. It does say that.
He can read?
Yes, he can read. It says that. Where did it just go? But it said because he cannot read music. He lied on his application. Yes. Upon coming, he lied on his application about knowing how to read music.
Okay.
Devon is demoted to P4 by John.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot more sense, actually.
So yeah, does Drumline hold up? That's what the episode's about.
Okay, so roll bounds. Do you guys know how to roller skate?
No, absolutely fucking not.
I can't roller skate at all. And the thing is when I worked at a summer camp, like back when I was in high school, that summer camp would always take us on a trip to the like a roller. The thing is I get this being set in Chicago, you know what I mean? Because like roller skating, the rink, it's like a big part of Chicago. Like there's an actual like really really famous roller skating rink just called The Rink, and I grew up down the street from there, so like I get it. If we're outside of Atlanta, I totally get it being in Chicago that we're roller skating, so that part makes sense to me. And I knew there was some part of me that knew, like, these niggas was from Chicago. Because they have a little Southern in them, but just, like, a little bit of it. Like, they're, like, only 2 generations removed from the South. You know, like, they just migrated up, like, a little bit after the Great Migration. You know what I mean? So I totally get that part. I never learned how to roller skate. My favorite part was always at the end of roller skating, there would be this moment where it was like a juke jam. So the roller skates would come off and it would be no roller skates on the roller rink. And then guys would just be like, it would just be like a dance battle. Guys would be footworking. There would be twerking and like dancing on guys and stuff. And I was like 7, 8, 9, 10. Like I should not have been there, but I was like, this is lit. Like, is this what it's like? Partying as an adult? Oh. But no, I was wrong about a lot of things, but that's okay. My first question that I want to ask about this film, why is Bow Wow always motherless in his films?
Yeah.
Why do we think that is?
Yeah, I don't really know.
What about you, Landon? Why do you think he's motherless?
It's a great relationship with
his mom. I mean, because like
he does love his mom.
Like his characters are kind of just like average fucking dudes. Like there's nothing special enough about him that he kind of needs depth. Yeah, like he kind of needs a dead mama for some like juice. You know what I mean?
A lot of action.
So in the movie, everybody, Bow Wow's mama is dead, and that is like what strains his relationship with his father. But let's talk about this roller rink. Okay, so like the skate rink is closing down because the owner has 16 kids and he can't afford it anymore. Sounds like foreshadowing for someone we just mentioned, but we can't jump to any conclusions. But
can you imagine sitting outside on the curb outside of Wild Now? Like, damn. They gotta close Wild
Out. Gotta close Wild Out because he can't support all them damn kids. But one thing I know about it, Rock and Roll gonna be good.
Oh, they gonna be good. Mariah has over $300 million in the bank. They finna be well fed.
Rock and Roll, they good, okay?
Yeah, they don't need that man.
They don't need that man. Me and my baby, we gonna be all right. We gonna live a good life, okay? Tell somebody about it, okay? So I kind of feel bad, like, because these kids now that the local roller rink closed down, they have nowhere to go all summer, and it kind of sucks, because it's like the summertime, if you don't got shit to do and you live in the hood, like, what did y'all used to do for fun in the summers? Well, Lyndon, we know you went to summer school.
I was just about to say, I mean, we had church camp. I liked church camp.
Okay, what was church camp about? What was the vibe?
So, because I went to a predominantly white people church, church camp was in the middle of the woods for a week. No electronics, no like TVs, no nothing, for a full week, and we would just like go to the woods, sing some fucking camp songs. You know,
oh, it's getting young life.
Yeah, what is young life? It was actually like, what is young life?
Wait, have you done it? Do you know what I'm talking about, Lyndon?
No.
What is young life? OMG.
Young life, it's like, okay, so I was like not super religious like growing up, or at least not at the point in my life when I was interacting with young life all the time. Young life was like this like Christian group for like young Christian, for like Christian teens essentially. And like while I wasn't like a part of it, I would go to like young life events because one of my best friends would like have them. And they would be generally normal. We would just be hanging out. I would go because there was like boys that I liked there. So we would go, we'd play like ping pong.
You were going like, for the wrong fucking reason.
Absolutely. Oh my God.
You're supposed to be getting saved.
This is what I'm trying to say. Like we would just go and like mostly just be hanging out. And then at the end, these two like people, these like young adults would like play the guitar and like we'd sing some.
Sing about Jesus?
We'd sing about Jesus, yeah. Or we'd sing like, "Hey, Soul Sister."
And
they'd read like, they'd read the Bible for like 2 seconds. They'd read like a page of the Bible for like 2 seconds, and then they'd be like, "Bye."
Can you please explain what the fuck? How did you get from church songs to train?
Sometimes he had a guitar. He was leading the way.
Yeah, sometimes you just get bored. You do a little jam session. It is what it is, you know?
You know what? I love that one train song.
Hey, Soul Sister, the one where he's singing.
Oh, the good one. Not any of the... Oh. Yeah, they're like one.
Did you guys know that Hey, Soul Sister was written about a black woman? Like, go back and listen to the
lyrics. News
is
crazy.
Sweet champagne.
Oh my God. What? Did you hear this?
What?
Hey, Soul Sister. Lyndon Cher.
Wait, what?
Hey, Soul Sister is allegedly written about a black woman.
Oh, I know. I used to watch MTV, what is it, Music Video Pops, where they would do like the trivia on the music videos.
I'm so gangster, I'm so thug.
Yeah.
Like, why did...
Yeah. Oh
remember, the answer to Fantasia's Hood Boy. Wow.
Do you remember that black song where he said, do you like my Tims, my baggy jeans, my thug appeal?
Yeah, JC Shazray, and he's allowed to say it because he ate that you solo know what? Up.
Did I tell you I ran into Lance Bass in West Hollywood once?
No, but that sentence makes a lot of sense.
Likely place for him to be. But yes, I ran into Lance Bass in West Hollywood once. I was having brunch, of course, and he was also, of course, having brunch with a group of multicultural gays. Yeah.
Was it looking like the Rush video by Troye Sivan?
Who?
Okay.
I do know that that's dominant. It's this new Troye Sivan song and video. I've actually not heard or seen it yet, but I know that it is dominating the gay world right now.
Okay. Maybe I just don't know enough white gay people. That's all the gays that I know are black. So
good. Period. That way.
Yeah.
Solidarity, sisters.
I was at a party recently. This is also completely side tangent. I was at a party recently.
I don't even know what the fuck we're talking. We haven't gone on any
We're talking about the feature film Roll Bounce.
We haven't talked about the movie at all. Tell your story. I don't know what's going on. Tell your fucking story.
No, I was just going to say I was hanging out with my friend and it was July 1st. And, like, I started singing the Be Who You Are song. And my friend was like, who is gay? But he goes, it's not pride anymore. You can't be proud.
I woke up on July 1st, hyped to be homophobic again.
You said, I actually think I'm going to have Chick-fil-A for breakfast. Because you know what? I love the four little biscuits. And I love the hash browns. And honestly, the iced coffee doesn't run through me. I'm so sorry.
Mariah, this is how I know you go to Chick-fil-A because I did not know any of those.
Yeah, you had the details. I had no idea.
I got too far. This podcast.
I said it comes with four biscuits.
Yes, the four little, they're chicken biscuits and now they have the spicy. So you can get the spicy breakfast chicken biscuits or you can get the regular ones. And the little hash brown rounds, they're so crunchy and delicious. Like, I think, not to be an advertisement for Chick-fil-A, or like, get your chicken from somewhere not homophobic, but like, also try those spicy chicken biscuits.
Like, in the same breath. You just said that in the same breath.
Just try chicken biscuits. Steal it. Like, just walk in there and then you won't be supporting it. Like, I've done that before. Have you ever? I'll admit, I was drunk.
So it was now like we're endorsing
crimes. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. Gay people do crime. Did you know that, Lyndon? They are allowed to do crime. Yes, it was like 2 or 3 in the morning. I was at McDonald's and they called out somebody's name and I just grabbed their shit and left the store. I don't even remember what I didn't get a chance to order.
Was this the McDonald's on Broad where somebody
put No. This was like recently. No. This happened like recently.
I was gonna say McDonald's on Broad, like that's very okay behavior in that space.
One time I saw a man who walked in there with a hammer and then he got into an argument with somebody. Like he walked in with the hammer and then somebody started an argument with him. It wasn't in response to anything. And then my friend, I was out with a couple people who you might know, but we had this random white guy with us and there was this black lady in there at the same time. And she was like, hurry the fuck up with my motherfucking food, this and that, blah, 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 you know, going off like they do. And ain't nobody saying shit. And this white boy tries to go, hey, maybe they, and we just shut him up like, no, do not. All of us at the same time was like, shut the fuck up. That is not one to argue with, okay? Shut up. You don't know what you just got. You almost walked into some shit. Okay? We saved that. We saved a life that night. So then they go to this roller skating rink that's on the north side of Chicago. Oh my God. This is typically where white people go to the roller skating rink. And so they go and it's like much nicer than their rinkety dink ass Southside roller skating rink. Probably didn't have no fucking AC in there. Cause I know the rink didn't have no AC. We was just in there sweating. Just like
he had 16 musty. Kids. Who was gonna pay for the
He could have had some industrial fans in that bitch. Get them kids to work, okay? I know at least 4, 5, 6, 7 of them have to be of age to work around this motherfucker. I was gonna say,
so now we're endorsing child labor, okay? Okay.
Wait, do you remember the episode of Iyanla Fix My Life where that man had 36 kids? And she had him.
And then he dropped one of the babies.
She's like, oh, look, you're poking that one in the eye, and you can't give it up. Please tell me you have seen that episode, Camille. Please tell me you've seen that.
Yes, I've seen that episode. Iyanla is like a train wreck you cannot look away from.
I just think she is, I don't know where the fuck Oprah found her, but I want to thank the gods of heaven and earth for what, for that woman, because
did I tell you guys I saw her live? I saw one of her live shows in person.
She does this live?
She did live shows where she.
And you were in the audience?
Did you go up there and just tell her everything?
No, so what she does is she kind of just like talks about different prompts, and she allows the audience to ask her questions, kind of like Ask Wendy. And one of the questions somebody was like, I have
it's Wendy Williams' birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. But one of the questions somebody was like, I have a really annoying coworker, what do I do about it? And she was like, the issue is not your coworker, the issue is you. And I remember sitting there being like, that's not correct.
I'm not saying that she has good ideas by any means. I just think, what an entertainer. Oh, yeah. Okay?
Absolutely.
Committed to the bit fully. And would you gotta respect that.
Everything I want, I have.
Remember, pop no, my butt.
Pop my butt.
She said,
pop my butt. Pop my butt.
Look at Harriet Tubman. Can you say, I want you to read that to Harriet Tubman.
Everything I want, I have. Everything I want, I have.
But like making her say that to Harriet Tubman is crazy. And
Rosa Parks.
Having a room. Imagine the conversation at the production meeting in the morning saying, guys, so I need the PA to go out and get I need you to print a picture of Rosa Parks, a picture of Harriet Tubman, a picture of Sojourner Truth, and I just need you to hang it on the walls in this room. Don't ask any questions. And then you look on the TV when the episode comes out and you're like, are you fucking kidding me? That's what it was for? Can you imagine the production meeting about this shit? Like, whose idea? It had to be her.
I think that's like what she's, I think she's like the master behind the whole, like, I think she's thought out every detail of these strange, unhelpful exercises.
So the kids go to this Northside roller skating rink where they discover that things are much nicer than they were on the South Side. And of course, Nick motherfucking Cannon is behind that. Because one thing about Nick Cannon, you can never say, he keep a job, okay? He gonna do this, that, and the third. Why the fuck this nigga was hosted America Got Talent? You have none. What are you doing? Hosting America's Got Talent. Probably another show. He's like,
remember when he owned like the N?
What?
Like the television channel, the N, where like Degrassi and like all.
What do you mean,
like,
he owned a television channel?
Yes, there was like so many ads about like Nick Cannon's in charge now. Yeah, I don't really know.
That sounds about right.
Are journalists on the case?
Honestly, I think we should look into it. What happened to the end?
No, I'm looking at it. No, let's see.
All right, we're going to have a quick intermission.
Yeah.
Did I tell you guys I'm going to be on a game show?
Stop. Which one? It's my dream. Oh my God, what game show?
It's called Person, Place, or Thing. It's a new game show.
Okay.
Well, what was it?
What?
Was it a person, place, or...
okay, you don't understand the premise of it. It's like one of those guessing games where you can only ask yes or no questions. And it's going to be a person, a place, or a thing. But I don't tape until August.
Okay. That's so fun.
And that's a Mariah what? Keeping a job. She on her Nick Cannon grind.
Oh, music career. Oh, that was crazy.
Not music career.
I know. I said, I'm reading this and I said, none of this sounds familiar. None of this makes any of these words. Word salad.
And it's because it was the music, career. Let me tell you. Gun to my... Okay. Yes.
Teen Nick. Following his role as a host of Teen Nick, of the Teen Nick block, Nick Cannon was the chairman of the Teen Nick channel for Nickelodeon in 2009, as well as its development and creative consultant. In 2012, Nick Cannon created a sketch comedy. Okay, nobody saw that. Yeah, never heard of that. But yes, and they had so many commercials where it was like he was he'd be like sitting at an office chair, and they'd be like, "Hey," like the people from the show would be like, "Hey, boss," because he was like the chairman of Teen Nick.
See, this was probably in the era where I didn't have cable. So I
we had many
have,
of those eras. We had many
I would,
of those eras.
I wouldn't have known many about this, eras. But that sounds fucking crazy. Anyway, Nick Cannon is working at the roller rink, and Megan Good's also there. She just seems to hang around this roller rink. Like, I feel like she too just ain't got shit to do in the summer, and everybody just at this fucking roller rink. But then Nick Cannon's tethered Sweetness and the Sweetwater Rollers, which features the guy from the Vampire Diaries, in his crew. Paul Wesley from the Vampire Diaries, who was in his crew, talking with the worst black scent I've ever fucking heard. I mean, white people used to do anything when it came to money. Like, they really will just do any fucking movie. If you look at some of this shit, like, before he got to the... Did you guys ever watch the Vampire Diaries? Lyndon, that seems like something you would watch.
I know, I was like, I was waiting for Lyndon to speak. I never watched it either.
That seems right up your fucking alley. You might have something
it
to look at.
It does seem... That's the thing. It does seem like it was right up my alley, but I think I was too young for Vampire Diaries. Like, I was still really young when Gossip
You were reading smut at school, and you're too young for the Vampire Diaries?
Like, I didn't know anybody that was watching it, so nobody, like, got into it.
Really? Because I feel like white girls love that shit. It was all over Tumblr.
But, like, nobody in my grade really watched it until we got older. Mm. I feel like we were all, like, a little too young while it was on
that
air, genuinely.
So,
like,
what were you watching?
I was a generation that was, like, Teen Wolf.
Oh, okay.
That makes actually a lot more sense. Yeah. That makes actually a ton more sense. Teen Wolf was never one that I watched. I would watch Awkward and then turn the TV off.
That's, you know what, the smartest
thing. You're welcome.
Yeah. But she kind of ate with that. I can't lie. Like, that show had its moment. It had its moment. And I was really into it. I remember that very vividly. Anyway, so they find out about a skate competition. When it comes to skate competitions, niggas really get riled up. Remember T.I.?
They
become like Raven Simone to these niggas. Like, but one thing about it, niggas don't rehearse. Raven had them bitches boom cack. I'm hiring. This is why that you can never compete. You can never compare where you don't compete with her. I'm just sitting here thinking about the Cheetah Girls too now. And just the work ethic of Raven, writing, composing songs, arranging dance rehearsals at studios.
So this, just to be clear, not Raven, but Galleria.
You know what I mean. You know what the fuck I mean. Galleria Garibaldi, okay? With her fine ass
Italian
white daddy.
Princess. Yeah.
Literally.
Why the white daddy?
Italian king. We never saw him. And he worshipped Lynn Whitfield. This is the only movie where she isn't the evil stepmom.
Yeah.
Did you realize
you're so
that?
Right. Yeah.
This is the only movie where she loves her kids, too.
Period.
That's kind of crazy.
We're not talking about the Cheetah Girls, too, though. We are talking
about
Roll Bounce. Yes. Active
skate competitions.
The skate competition. Let's talk about grief, guys.
Oh my gosh.
And just about how people. Hear me out. Hear me out.
Okay.
So we know he loses his mom
right
before this movie. And I think it's so beautiful the way that siblings come together during the time of grief, because adults just kind of become very non-functioning.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very, like, beautiful moment about this film. Like, he's still big brother, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was very beautiful.
No, that's a sweet, and yeah, that's a sweet little scene between them when she, like, asks him. I would say he
was mad as fuck when that little girl woke him up.
He said, wait a minute. Do you remember the streetlight scene at the beginning? Did you ever have to be inside by the time the streetlights came on?
I once had a curfew of 11 because that's like the curfew that it 11 p.m. because that was a curfew for people with like junior driver's license. So they were younger than 18.
I'm talking about when you were like 10 and you're like playing outside and your mom's like, you better be back in the house before the streetlights come on. Your mom never told you that?
We grew up in the suburbs.
There were no streetlights?
Like, we actually, we didn't really have streetlights like that. No.
What?
I feel like I always wanted to like come in before it.
Yeah. You said you don't even say, have to like tell me.
Yeah,
I feel like we were always here. Inside. My mom used to always make that joke when Mayor Nutter, was it Mayor Nutter? I forgot, but some mayor in Philadelphia
had a bunch of
ads going around with the ads.
Major who? Like,
no, Mayor Nutter. That's his name.
I said, what?
No, but you're
the fuck are you like, talking
Mayor,
about?
Mayor Nutter, he had all those, I think it was him, but all those ads that were going out that was like, do you know where your kids are? And every time they would come on, my mom would put her head up and go, 1, 2, 3, yeah. Because we would all be inside watching TV.
That's fucking crazy. My mama used to tell us that, but the crazy part about her saying, come inside before the streetlights come on. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have a watch. I didn't know what time it was. How the fuck I'm
That's why you're using the
streetlights. But you're supposed to be inside before they come on.
You know, you see the sun going down.
Okay, but that don't mean I know when the fucking streetlight, like I have
that's T-minus when that, 10 minutes. No, that's when it comes on.
But I like to be, okay, I never thought about that. I thought it was like a specific time. So they're activated by like sunlight? Wait, are you
familiar? I don't know. I mean, I don't know the mechanics of the streetlight, but their function is to come on when it gets dark because so
people
can see.
But how do they know when it's dark? Like, is it a nightlight activation type thing? Like, once the sun... I'm dead ass right now.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know. Is it...
I know you are.
This is a really investigative episode. Let's see. How do streetlights work?
It depends on like when the streetlights were implemented and how much the budget was. So a lot of streetlights for many years, it's like timed. You can time when they come on. So they would adjust the time based off of the seasons. But now a lot of streetlights are like basically... They're going based off of how much light is actually outside.
Right.
But how do the streetlights know how much light
there is outside? It says streetlights are controlled by sensors that detect when it is dark enough.
See? The lighting to be required. I knew what I was talking about.
I mean, you just found out about it 2 seconds ago.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Any fucking way. Okay. So the skate competition. They get to the skate. Who do you be, and be honest, who was better in the skate competition? Bow Wow's crew or the Sweetwater Rollers?
The Sweetwater Rollers.
Yeah, they really deserve that fucking W.
They be skating.
Like they was skating, okay? Like, you could tell them niggas, Sweetness, Nick Cannon's tether, Wesley Jonathan, he said, y'all get...
Stop calling your
Okay, ladies, now let's get information.
Period.
Okay? Like... He wasn't playing no fucking games. I know he was on some, you better be at rehearsal. If you at rehearsal late, you're running laps. Okay? Like,
Was so, I know he was making
Oh my God, they were so fucking good. Meanwhile, Bow Wow's Rinky Dink crew, all the fuck they did was sit inside and drink woohoos. Yoo-hoos. Do you guys like chocolate milk?
Love chocolate milk. Don't you fuck with like yoo-hoo because that's not milk. That's chocolate, like, drink.
You seem like you would like chocolate milk.
Fucking them. I love regular milk. Don't get me started.
What?
Oh yes.
And the you're war, a singer.
The war on dairy. The war on dairy milk from the sweet tit of a cow has been so has been terrible for me.
You're literally a singer. How do you like milk?
I was telling you, it's so refreshing.
Are you fucking kidding me? Like you're just
absolutely
you're just drinking glasses of milk.
chugging it.
Are you fucking chugging
it? It is so refreshing. It is so cold. It gets like colder than other drinks. It's just so good to me.
This is like the craziest thing I've heard today.
And if I'm eating, if I like get a dessert or something and I can't have milk like with it, I probably won't eat it.
Oh my God.
It's so, milk is such a refreshing and delicious beverage.
You're like eating milk with like a piece of pie?
Well, yeah, that's, I feel like you need milk for that, for sure.
No, you fucking, what?
What are you drinking with your piece of pie?
Water.
I mean, water's fine too, but when it's something that sweet and rich, I like need milk.
That is so crazy to me.
Dairy milk.
You don't do like oat or almond? You don't fuck with that?
Oats don't have nipples. Oh, almonds does have nipples. I'm confused by the whole thing. I'm confused by the whole thing.
What the fuck are we talking about?
I know. It's gone. It's gone off the rails.
We haven't even talked about the fucking movie. But you really just drink, like you go to the grocery store and you're like, red top, blue top, green top. And you just drink the fucking milk.
Red top, blue top, green top.
You know, they have the tops, like the different colors, like vitamin D has the red right. top.
Super 2%
has the blue.
Yeah. I don't drink like 1%. Like it'll be like 2% or whole milk.
What's the difference?
The amount of fat. That's what the percentage is.
What is fat though? Like, where do they get that from?
I don't really know what you're asking now.
Don't know either.
Feels like a perfect time to go back to talking about roll bounce.
Right, you're right.
Can we actually address, so obviously there's a big scene, maybe, and stop me if I'm jumping too far, but there's the big scene where
Bounce, jumping like, from where? We don't have any place.
He famously gets mad at his dad for lying about being unemployed. Something I would not be mad at my father for. Seems like he would need my support.
My mama used to do that shit all the time. My mama was constantly unemployed. So, like, I knew if she was ever staying home too late, I said, oh, she lost her job again. But you could never ask her about it. You'd have to ask leading questions. Like, what's your schedule like this week? What did you do at work today? Or you would be oh, are you not, don't you have work tonight? Right. And then she would have finally, like, I'm not working there anymore, Mariah. I lost the fucking job, Mariah. Like, she never could.
So, would you tell me? Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. So I totally get where he was coming from. Because why are you lying about having a fucking job?
It's the lying. And then on top of the lying, he was being like incredibly hard on him the whole time. And it's like, you are here lying.
But the fact that he took the lie to the extent of getting dressed, I know he was going to job interviews.
Which really is a job.
That's like pathological, though. To get dressed every day and say, I'm going to work to your children coming home. And they said, where's the television?
He's manifesting.
Where's the...
when he's not selling, when he's not selling their household possessions, he's manifesting. And when he's not doing that, he's at these interviews. It's hard.
Did you guys ever watch The Sopranos?
Yeah, I've seen The Sopranos. I never watched it.
Do you remember? Okay, but this episode I think is really famous, where one of the Meadows' friends' dad has a gambling problem, and so he owes Tony a lot of money. And this is at the same time Meadow is asking for a car. So then Tony's like, "Do you have my money?" He says, "No." And then he says, "Okay, I'm gonna take that car," and he gifts the car to Meadow. Like, this girl, not her best fucking friend, at her house all the day. Been in the car before and tried to gift it to her, like, here's the fucking car you've been asking for, and wonder why they hated his ass. So that's what I felt like it was like for Bow Wow and his friends to be walking down the street and see his daddy's car on the lot. And then why the fuck that man on the car lot, the car salesman, was telling all his daddy business like that? Like, you're talking to a child. Like, yeah, oh, your daddy ain't got no job. Tell him I might have some work for him. What the fuck?
I know, you don't send that message
by way of a group of 16-year-olds. I would have gone home and killed myself. That's what I would have done.
That would have been an intense reaction.
They do that in front of all of your fucking friends.
Well,
that's
I just would have pretended like I was in the know. I would have been like, oh yeah, let me.
Oh yeah, he was dumb as fuck.
I said, no. He did find something. We're doing great. everyone I know is doing good.
Thriving in abundance. Actually. Thank you for asking.
The continued manifesting.
At least then we would know it ran in the family. Bow Wow, well, we know it. Well, it kind of does, though. Because he went into that. So then, jumping back to the skate competition, the moment when there's a tie between the Sweetwater Rollers, the obvious winners, this is like the 2016 election. And Bow Wow's crew, who got a tie by default, and then Sweetness challenges him to a dance-off, a roll-off, a skate-off, a one-on-one challenge. And, I mean, Sweetness was tearing that shit the fuck up. And Bow Wow went out there and looked so fucking raggedy. I said, nigga, you really had just, like, a pipe, like, you know, a dream. Like, he really went the fuck out there and embarrassed the fuck out of himself.
They are not good at skating.
They are not good. They're not even ATL level of good at skating. Like, at least T.I.'s crew could fucking skate. These niggas cannot skate. And they cannot roast each other either. Like, they're all so bad at it. But can we talk about how all of these people have been in a movie with Bow Wow before?
Yeah, well, yeah. I was like, half the cast of Lottery Ticket is here.
I was like, is it? I don't know how the fuck this became Bow Wow month, but it really did.
Okay, because I wanted to ask that. Was that on purpose? That
it really Bow wasn't. Wow
month? No.
You know, guys, the way that this works is I will wake up in the morning and I'll be like, oh, I have to do that thing. And then I will quickly Google black movies. And I will send Lyndon and Camille a list of movies to choose from that I'm sure they thought that I've had in my head forever. And then they will choose from one of the movies. And most times I have seen the movie, but sometimes I haven't. Like with Pootie Tang, we recall.
Not my proudest.
Not my finest.
I will own up to the fact that I have suggested some of the worst movies we've ever watched.
You have.
Yeah. Movies that I will say are my parents' absolute favorites. So that is really
my parents' favorite too. It's crazy to be raised in houses with people with such bad taste to end up having such great taste.
Yeah, like there was good thing. Like they do have it. It's just it's dicey. Mm-hmm. There are some spots that are just a little.
Oh my god! My mama used to go up for Lifetime movies. Like,
oh well, yes,
I still do.
Battered Women. Oh my gosh! Please,
every time.
Battered White Women.
It's a Hallmark movie. If there's a wedding by the end, it's a Lifetime movie. If at least one of the cast members is dead by the end.
Well, dead, battered, escaped. I was really
and it's always when they're 17. It's always stalked at 17, killed at 17.
At 17, they have to have a whole category called at 17.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was scared as hell. I said, "Well, what's going to happen?"
Yeah, I don't.
When I turn 17, I don't need to turn 17. If that's the case, yeah. 16 and pregnant. 16, the pregnancy pact.
Oof, that was
pregnancy
legendary.
Can you imagine being like, we're all just gonna get pregnant right now? What?
I think we should make a pregnancy pact.
Okay, so I think the three of us should leave this recording session. Go and get pregnant right now.
Yes.
Okay? I'm actually on my cycle, so this would actually be the perfect time for me. Does that work for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
We love an ovulation period.
Okay. Okay, so we all have suitable
meanwhile, Camille's the only fathers. One with a significant other here.
Yeah, I feel like I'm being cursed right now. Stop.
We take it back in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Don't wish that. Don't put that on Camille. Okay? Don't put that over her. Okay, so
wait, can I say I have a controversial opinion?
Okay.
I don't think Megan Good was necessary in this film. I don't think she needed to have.
She fully
I don't think
was
any.
Not. She fully
I think
was
the
not.
Parents' love story is enough.
The
of
thing is,
enough love, and I liked the sibling thing with like him and Journey Smollett, and you just didn't need it.
But it's crazy to me because it just felt like in 2005 she was in every movie.
Yeah.
Because she was.
Every fucking movie.
Because she quite literally
And it was. Took her a while to get good. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
It took her a while to get good. And some would say that she still has her moments.
Listen. We're all good at something. We can't all be good at everything.
Right.
But we all good at something.
And then it kind of made it glaring. I don't know if they're actually around the same age. They were just playing around the same age. But seeing that performance compared to Journey Smollett.
Oh, my God.
Right. But seeing her performance compared to Journey Smollett, who is good. Yeah. It's like.
But, baby, Journey Smollett came out the womb. They cut the umbilical cord and put her on TV.
All of them kids, yo.
All of them kids. You know, I just found out they had a TV show.
Yeah.
That is crazy. So, Roll Bounce. Do we think it holds up? I don't know what happened here just now.
Yeah.
Every single plot.
I don't know what happened in this movie.
But that's the thing. I just don't. Like, I think my sister's spark notes were kind of accurate. Like, we really didn't skip over like that much.
We did not.
Yeah. And the movie.
They were sad that it was closed. They went to the new place. They did the skate battle. The parents had a love story. He had a love story.
And the crazy thing is, she, the movie is like an hour and 50 minutes long. So let's be clear, this movie is long. Like, it took me 2 days to finish it because I had to pause it.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so I'll go first. Was it somebody in the middle of talking? I don't remember.
Nope.
Go ahead. Take your time.
Take your time, Pastor. I do not think that this movie holds up. I think there is a much better coming of age black boy skate story that we've actually covered on this show.
What was it?
ATL was the first movie we watched.
Oh, I forgot they skated in that one.
What did you think they did?
No, in Lyndon's defense, it's just not like the biggest plot. Like, it's not the biggest plot.
He had a lot going on. Junior. Wait, was that his name in the movie? You know, Evan Ross.
Yeah.
Look, Evan Ross. Calvin.
Yeah, he's Junior.
Junior. Mm. The uncle.
I know the name who I think it is.
Nunu.
Is she on that Nunu shit?
Acting a clown, looking a clown. So I don't think that Roll Bounce holds up because of that. I think there is a much better movie of this same genre. Made around the same time, actually. So it's kind of a coincidence, I think.
Yeah. It's just really, like, unfortunately, lighthearted yet... Well, not lighthearted. They're literally grieving. But, like, boring, but also this movie could have been at most... 60 minutes, and if it was more comedic, it would have become a better movie. Like, if they were like, guys, we're gonna win this competition, and then they showed up and they were horrible, like, that's hilarious,
right?
I think Lennon kind of hit the nail on the head. It is kind of boring, like, it just kind of a boring movie. I kind of wish that, like, I feel like I'd be interested in watching a season of, like, Roll Bounce the television show and watching this group of kids get into, like, silly situations all summer.
Yeah,
but just exactly. This
don't nothing, give them no ideas.
Because they'll surely do it. But actually, nobody can do any ideas right now. So, I also, it took me multiple days to watch. And yeah, I guess it doesn't hold up. I mean, we couldn't even really stay focused on trying to talk about it right now.
Yeah, we did struggle. Because
there's really not that much.
There's really nothing to talk about. So
usually my issue is that a movie tries to put too much into it, whereas this movie didn't put anything. They didn't put anything in it, and there were a lot of filler scenes that literally did not matter.
Nothing.
Yeah, they didn't make any. They just didn't. Nothing was, like, there wasn't, like, a strong enough conflict.
Yeah.
nothing had to be like earned. Like Megan Good immediately likes him, and like even the parent, like that's why I said like the parent story is so interesting to watch. I like that they start off with like this weird.
Enemies to lovers.
That's the movie I want to kind of see.
Enemies to lovers. How do we get
also,
here?
Also, can we talk about that one side character girl where her whole plot line is that she has braces and then she gets
Jurnee Smollett.
She is not a side character. She's like the She's one of the main. She's one of the main characters in this movie.
I didn't know her name.
We were talking about her earlier.
I thought you were talking about her family. The little like daughter, like the younger sister.
No. Jurnee Smollett.
Because when you were talking, I was like, I mean, yeah, she was cute, but I wouldn't go that far to say she was dancing circles.
No. Jurnee Smollett, she was so fun in this movie.
Yeah, I really like her, but I also think she was fun in all of her movie, her kid movies.
Yeah,
like, she was really great. I mean, in her adult movies, too, but I just mean, like, the kid movie performances were so fun and so kiddish, and I love it. Okay, so... thank you everybody who somehow if you made it to the end of this episode, thank you so much for listening. It's been a wonderful summer and we will see you again in September. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Does It Hold Up, brought to you by Textured Air, a brand dedicated to celebrating Black girl culture, past, present, and future. If you like what you heard, please be sure to leave us a 5-star review. It really does help. You can find us on social media at Textured Air. That's TextureEir on all platforms. And make sure you check out our other podcast, Where My Girls At, and The Blacklist, and all of the other content we offer on our website, texturedair.com. Until next time.